Welcome to Commons and Chronicles, the podcast where we talk about all the best Creative Commons and reusable open game license content. If you need resources for your creative writing, game design, or you just love lore, Commons and Chronicles is for you. Hey everyone, this is Klaatu. This episode I want to continue our journey through the Six Kingdoms of the Dreamland Realm by H.P. Lovecraft. This is mostly taken from the book The Dream Quest for the Unknown Kadeth. If you have not read it, you should definitely read it. It is a fantastic work, and it gives you such a great setting for all of your imaginations, whether it is a campaign, or a story, or illustration, just whatever you need. It's got story ideas, it's got it all. It's really, really inspiring, so you should read it. Today, it's going to be a little bit of a short episode, because there's not a whole lot of data on this region, but I want to consolidate the regions, as I said last, I think in the previous H.P. Lovecraft episode. This one's going to be west across the Southern Sea. Again, my directions within the Six Kingdoms are a little bit confusing, because he's not super clear on directions. He'll mention them sometimes, but not all the time, so... But I'm assuming, if I'm doing my cartography correctly, which I'm probably not, I think we're going west. So the Southern Sea is the big body of water that extends, that overlooks, or that Dilith Lean sits upon. So Dilith Lean, of course, is the big trading city south of Ulthar, and It's a place where people from Ulthar don't tend to like to go, and the reason for that is because there were these really weird sort of merchants who kept showing up there selling rubies. And as we now know, if you've heard the previous episodes about the Dreamland Realm, you'll know that these weird merchants are actually from the land of Leng, and they're actually slaves of moon beasts from the moon, and the rubies are mined on the moon and brought down and sold to stupid humans who can't see the threat of imminent invasion right in front of them because of all the sparkly, shiny rubies that they're buying. So that's the Southern Sea. The Dilith Lean looks right onto the Southern Sea, and so it's a pretty important body of water. And not just because of Dilith Lean, but there's something there. There's a reason I talked about that. So we'll talk about it in a minute. So the Southern Sea, west across the Southern Sea, there are several lands. A lot of them we don't actually get to go to. We don't really see many of these places. But one of them is called Zak, Z-A-K, Abode of Forgotten Dreams and Home to Terraces of Temples. So, Zak, that's that. Thalarion, Thalarion, a demon city of 1,000 wonders, where the Eidolon Lathi reigns among great spired towers. We don't know anything about this place. It's super intriguing. The Eidolon Lathi reigns there among great spired towers. Really, really want to know more about Thalarion. And if you'll recall in a previous Lovecraft episode, I was trying to speculate about what the Six Kingdoms were, and I said, these are the ones that I think might be the Six Kingdoms, but there are lots of other places that we never go to that are real contenders, and this is one of them, Thalarion, with its Eidolon, Lathi. I don't know anything about Lathi, the Eidolon. I don't even know what an Eidolon is, I'll confess, but it's a demon city. It's a huge contender for being, you know, maybe one of the Six Kingdoms. Anyway, moving on from Thalarion, which we have no data about other than that one sentence. Zura, Z-U-R-A, with alluring carnal gardens, a land of pleasures unattained. That just sounds frustrating. Wouldn't want to go to Zura. Sona Neil, blessed land of fancy, with twin headlands of crystal meeting above in a resplendent arch. That sounds nice. It sounds beautiful. It sounds like a good place to go. The name sounds suspiciously like Soma, like sleeping. So it's S-O-N as in November, A, dash N, again, November, Y-L, Sona, Nil. And yeah, apparently it's got a crystal arch above it, which sounds quite fantastic, very Roger Dean. I would like to see it, maybe not stay there too long. It sounds kind of like a lazy place. Now, legend also has it that the land of Kathuria lies beyond the basalt pillars of the West. Now, Randolph Carter, the protagonist of Dreamland, Dream Quest for Unknown Caedith, discovered that, in fact, Kathuria does not lie beyond the basalt pillars of the West. Or if it does, it lies too far beyond the pillars for us to get there, because there is a great cataract into the void just beyond the pillars. So if you continue to sail west along the southern sea, just to be clear, you will be sucked into the void. So just watch out for that if you're going that way. Now, I don't know how much navigation... a sea is a big body of water, so I don't know exactly where this cataract lies. I don't know if it's a maelstrom sort of sucking you down into the water and then you pop out into the void. I don't know if it's just a rip in the fabric of space that shoots you out into the void and then to the moon. I really don't, you know, Lovecraft does not describe it quite enough to know. I don't know if you're going west, you just fall off the face of the earth and Kathuria is completely a legend, or what? What's going on? I get more like it's either a maelstrom, maelstrom or a whirlpool, something like that, or maybe a rip in the fabric of space, rather than, for instance, oh, we've just reached the end of the world. Because we know from Cardinal Directions that the basalt pillars are, they're called of the West. So we know that we are traveling west. We know that Dilithleen is south of Ulthar, so it feels like we would collide with Ulthar before we got sucked off the end of the world. That's how my physics interprets this. Again, not too clear on it, and it's completely up to your interpretation as to whether when you go west across the southern sea, if there's a rip across the entire sea and you get sucked out into space, or if it's just, hey, if you point your ship to those pillars way over there, then when you pass through those pillars, it's a portal and you're in the void now. But you could go around the pillars and then reach Kathuria. That, I think, makes a lot of sense to me. And I really like the motif of a whirlpool, of a huge, just a big funnel in the water. I think that sounds very cool. I mean, not to experience in real life outside of, say, a theme park, but in a fantasy world, that I think that would just be a fantastic sight to see and a really fun place to visit in a role-playing game. So that's the Kathuria / rip in space area of the Southern Sea. There's one more city that was mentioned, which I think is probably a typo in the ebook that I read, because it's called Zar, and the location's not really super clear in the book. It is called the Land of Forgotten Dreams, which of course Zach was called the Abode of Forgotten Dreams, and it is visited by sailors and traders. So it sounds like Zar and Zach might be the same place with a typo, but they could be distinct. Now, in the other direction, east on the southern sea, so this is toward an island called Oriab, you can go for a long ways and never hit a whirlpool or a rip in space or whatever it is. But what you do encounter along the way is a sunken city. And this is a beautiful part of the book, and I can't hope to do it justice. And I really shouldn't do it justice. You should read it. You should experience this on your own, because it's such a beautiful, lilting, sad, mysterious moment in the book. It's really, really nice. And it's kind of surprising sometimes at how much mileage Lovecraft, if you've read a lot of his stuff, you'll find that he gets, but even in this book, actually, he gets a lot of mileage out of locations. He can describe, especially cities, he can describe cities, especially abandoned cities. He can describe these things so well and make them sound like a poem, really. It's a poem in narrative form. And all it is a city. It's just the abandoned streets and buildings of a city. It's really cool. There are quite a few stories that come to mind about either, you know, abandoned and crumbling castles or nameless cities or whatever. And there's nothing more to it sometimes than just a description of the location. And that's kind of what the Sunken City is, to be honest. But it's about 5 days east of Dilithlene. So we're coming back away from the Pillars of the West, back in Dilithlene, go the opposite direction. 5 days east from Dilithlene, across the Southern Sea, there lies the weedy walls and broken columns of a sunken city too old for memory. When the water is clear, you can see through the fathoms of water above it, the climbing streets and myriad little houses that once was this great, nameless, forgotten city. Visible, too, is the dome of a great temple, and in front of that is an avenue of unnatural sphinxes leading to what was once a public square. Phosphorescent fish sometimes swim through the city, and there's so many phosphorescent fish that have kind of made this place their home that sometimes if you're sailing over it at night, you'll look down, and it looks like the city is alive again because all the windows are lit. And you'll see shadows passing in and out. But we're pretty sure those are just the phosphorescent fish. It's probably not ghosts. Right? Nah, it's not ghosts. It's the fish. It's the phosphorescent fish. Okay, so past the main city, again, all of this is underwater. So past the main city are the remains of the suburbs. And then finally, way up on a great lone hill, there's this building of fairly simple architecture, but it's in vaguely better repair than everything else. I mean, it's still covered in seaweed and coral, but it hasn't been overrun or you know, completely caved in or anything. It's said that it was of basalt, and it is assumed to have been maybe a temple or a monastery, and it's dark, and it's kind of low to the ground. I mean, it's up on a hill, but it's low to the ground. And it opens up into a paved court in its center. It has pillars at each corner, and then in the center it's got this paved courtyard. There's a high monolith in the middle of that central courtyard, and bound to that monolith is the body of a sailor in the silk robes of Oriab, head downward, but sometimes in the waves of the waters, it'll lift his head, and you'll see that there are no eyes in his eye sockets. Well, because he's dead, obviously. Something's picked out his eyes. But his body is just kind of preserved there on this monolith in the center courtyard of a temple or a monastery. That's it. That's the Sunken City. Really, really mesmerizing city. As I said, I can't do it justice. You'll have to read the book to get a real sense of what it was like to be there. It's an amazing scene, though, and you should definitely read that. I would love to run a campaign where this sunken city either rises again, or my players do the whole breathing underwater thing magically and go down to explore this sunken city. There's no sense that the sunken city is good or bad, except in the typical Lovecraftian manner of everything's both beautiful and horribly dangerous at the same time. So I think this would be a really great location for all kinds of adventures. And I'm not super intrigued by underwater stuff just because I've been scuba diving and I didn't really care for the whole having to remember to breathe and not being able to move as one does normally above the water. I'm not a super big fan of hey, let's go down into the water and do things, even, and we can breathe magically, so it'll be great. Because it's just everything's so slow under there. So I would either have, you know, sort of the magical air pocket, or the sunken city has risen to the surface and it drains out, and then we go into it and explore. That's probably what that's the direction I would go into. And that's all the data we have on the Southern Sea. It's an important body of water, but we don't spend a whole lot of time there. I feel like we get a little bit more time in the Serenarian Sea, just because a large part of the action of the book happens in that region, not necessarily on the sea, although some of it on the sea. So yeah, we get to hang out there a lot more than we do in the Southern Sea. The Southern Sea at the time, you think, oh my gosh, this is it, this is the water. And then you go into the Serenarian Sea and then your mind is blown. So this is the lesser of the two seas for my money. That said, it's an interesting place, especially once you get to Oriab, which we will get to in a later episode. That's all I've got for you for today. Thank you for listening. Come back for more. That's it for this week's episode. Thank you very much for listening. My name is Klaatu. You can reach me via email at klaatu@member.fsf.org. You can also usually catch me in IRC as not Klaatu. I'm on the Freenode network. Thank you very much for listening, and I'll talk to you next time.